Hey there. This is the John Krasinski Show. We were very lucky a while back to have Chris Finch come out and spend some time with us. Today we were very lucky to have Tim Connelly, president of basketball operations with the Minnesota Timberwolves, here with us tonight. And I just want you all to understand, this is not normal. NBA head coaches and general managers and presidents of basketball operations don't just come out and visit in other cities. This is a very special thing we have going here. Thanks to Tim for his graciousness. Thanks to Chris Finch. Thanks to John for setting it up. And thanks to all the other Timberwolves employees who are here tonight. Thanks also to our buddy Steve Terry. We're going to be giving away a lot of stuff as the show goes on. John, just remind me if I forget any of this stuff. So just to let you know, this is the John Krasinski Show, part of TalkNorth.com. We're coming to you officially from the Aquarius Home Services Studio. Of course, we're here at Head Flyer Brewing, which has become our home base for live shows when it comes to the Timberwolves. It's been a blast of a year. So, Tim, I'm actually going to start off by saying thank you for making this such a great season. You know, I live in downtown Minneapolis, and the city is a better place when the Wolves are good. It's been, and you know, you've not only put together a good team, you put together a very likable team. So I'll throw out the first softball question, then John will take it over. When you're looking for players, how much does personality play into your evaluation?
Yeah, it's huge. Obviously, it's the NBA, so there has to be some level of talent. But like any other industry, it's not fun to go to work with jerks. And we're very fortunate. We have a room full of really, really good guys, work with great colleagues. So it's just more fun when you know, the people that you're working with are kind of pulling the same direction. And we have, I think John can attest, we have a very, very low ego, normal group of guys relative to a lot of NBA locker rooms. So it makes the success that much cooler. And I think when we had a long draft meeting today, there's so much talk about what type of person he is. What will they bring to the building? Because it's hard to control wins and losses, but you should to some degree control what type of people come to your building.
Tim, we're not that far away from the 2-year anniversary of your hiring and you coming aboard here. I was wondering, I mean, are your kids having Minnesota accents yet? And like, what's the process been like of just getting settled in here and, you know, starting to make this home for you?
Yeah, it's been cool. Actually, the first person that met in Minnesota was John. We were in Denver to have some beers. He mentioned the possibility of it. Everyone's been great. The people have been awesome. The city and states have been really cool. We've been fortunate to meet a bunch of cool people. School's been great. The team's been great. Finchie's been a friend for a long time. We got Matt Lloyd here. He's a friend for a real long time. Yeah, we have Matt Lloyd. I really dig the vibe. I think it's really good people. People, you know, what you and I talk about, really diverse. It's important for our family to kind of be around different backgrounds, different cultures. So we've been really impressed by how welcoming the community's been, and it certainly feels like home after a couple years.
I know you like to kind of get out in the town and kind of feel the place that you're living in. Like, what are you kind of doing for in your small free time to kind of soak in, you know, the Twin Cities and what favorite spots or where you're taking the family, things like that?
It's funny, on the drive over, my wife and I'm like, oh, that place has great ribs. Oh, that's a cool bar. And my wife's like, have you been all these places? I'm like, yeah, maybe. I call myself like a mid-level foodie. I don't like really high-end food, but this is a great food town. We've just explored pretty much every neighborhood. I don't know if we have a favorite place. You're showing me a couple of pretty cool bars, but pretty much everywhere, again, the vibe is what's most consistent. Just casual, cool, and a lot of really neat people.
We will let you guys all know, we have, if you stick around, at the end of the show, we're going to raffle off 3 sets of 2 tickets for game 2 of the playoffs, so stick around for that. We have Steve Terry is over here giving away some shirts if you sign up for what they got going on over there. We also have Jake Vernon, thanks for coming with the Timberwolves, and they're giving away car flags for you to kind of show your team spirit around town this week leading into the playoffs. And kind of, Tim, on that point, like, what have you noticed just about fan support in the building? Has been first time in team history, 41 sellouts. Like, what have you kind of noticed about how this community is getting behind this team?
It's a great sports town. This is, you know, the first time that I've lived in the Midwest, and whether it's the Gophers, the Timberwolves, the Twins, the passion for the team's so evident. And I think we have one of the better home court advantages this year. It's a really, obviously an older building has its own challenges, but once you get to your seat, I don't think there's a better arena to sit in and have just great angles and great viewpoints of the game. So, hey, people don't like to play here, and that's a testament to our fans. You know, they make it an unfriendly place to play, which is really what we're trying to accomplish.
Where do you sit when you watch the games?
I just sit in the locker room by myself, or I sit in my office. I mean, I'm pretty emotionless. I'm not like Matt's a maniac. That's a joke, Matt. I'm pretty emotionless, but I just like to watch other games. I try to Billy Beane a couple times. I've been working out much, so it's a good way to work out during the game. But I sit in the back and just watch on TV.
The play-ins start tonight. Last year, you were in that spot. Is it a relief not to be in that? Like, how different does it feel knowing where you are, knowing your opponent going into this one versus last year?
Oh, I'd much rather have beers here than be sweating in L.A. or against who was the second game? Who did we play? Oklahoma City, the second game?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's we challenged ourselves to be a home court playoff team this year. Last year, we were 6-10 versus the bottom five teams. You invert that record, we'd accomplish that goal. So we thought there was some low-hanging fruit, and our goal was to be a home court playoff team. And we think you're a home court playoff team, you have a puncher's chance to advance. And, we've accomplished that. It was a really fun race for one. We fell just short of it, but we're going to host a playoff game, game one, for the first time in a long time on Saturday night.
I was going to ask you if, in the midst of all this, you can enjoy it. It seems like you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, the guys that know me pretty well, I don't take the job that seriously. So much of it's out of our hands, right? It's health. We've been fortunate to be pretty healthy this year. Last year, we had a run of bad health, some self-induced. so we're healthy. We have a great coaching staff. We have great fans. I think our depth is something that's pretty unique. So, we have to be our own biggest fans. We haven't accomplished anything as of yet. Our guys have seen very limited playoff success, but I think you get into basketball to have fun. I think our best players, the Ants, the Cats, the Rudies, they're better when they have fun. So we don't want to make a drudgery. It's a fun job, and every day kind of pitch yourself that this is what I do for a living.
What does what makes Finch effective? Because there are a lot of people who know basketball, who can run a practice, who can run a game, but he seems to be pretty good at the big picture.
Well, he's really intelligent, not just a smart basketball coach. I think that the smartest leaders I've been around are smart across various things. They're not single-minded in their approach to life. He is egoless. I think the best leaders we're seeing in sports right now, we're starting to see a switch, maybe not always the loudest voice for a long time, were the people you saw on the sidelines. And he's not overly dogmatic to one thing. He's willing to adjust. I mean, when you coach in Europe and you coach in the G League, you don't know what players you have day to day. So you have to be creative and change things on the fly. So those things in unison, make him a really special coach.
Tim, when you look back at, I think one of the things that has sort of defined the Timberwolves' success this season is you and Finchie did not flinch when things were not perfect last year with Rudy and Kat up front. I think there was plenty of people who, from the outside, looked at it and said, man, you got to get off of this. It's not going to work. Punt and figure it out and retool. You guys did not do that. Like, what led you in your conversations after last year to get to that point of just, hey, we're going to believe in these guys and see brighter days around the corner here?
I think two things. I think thematically, we're both pretty patient people. And in professional sports, not sports, in life in general right now, patience is kind of an outlier. So we think, you see the most successful teams, I think oftentimes it's continuity, it's patience. Those two converge and you can see how impactful they can be on winning. The other thing is, again, we shot ourselves in the foot last year, losing twice to Charlotte, losing twice to D.C., losing a couple times to Detroit. We weren't far off from where we wanted to be last year, despite Cat missing 51 games. We thought in the playoffs it was 4-1, but when we rewatched the playoffs, we thought we gave an honest effort. And there was, easily could have been a 6 or 7-game series. But we didn't also bury our head in the sand. We understand that you got to give it a wide berth, but then once you got to see if it's going to work or not going to work. And we thought, Rudy wasn't himself last year. Kat certainly with the injuries. Those two guys in particular, having a bunch of new faces. It's not just Rudy, but we sent out a lot of really good rotation pieces. So we tend to err on the side of patience. And, again, Finchie deserves all the credit because he's so creative. He embraces any roster and can pretty much make anything work. So we thought if we clean up around the edges, last year the technicals, the fouling, the record versus bottom five or six teams, if we kind of just had an average record, we'd be where we wanted to be. And, you know, luckily things worked out. We've had, until Kat's injury, we've had a pretty good run of health. We've seen Ant take the next step. I think, you know, the addition of Mike has been huge. And when you make a big trade like that, too, it's not just about the here and now, the wins, but when you have someone as, you know, as dynamic and as electric as Anthony, he's got to see professionalism in winning early. And it's, you know, he's going to see three or four variations of teams. He's going to see teams with the guys he has presently. He's going to see another group in a couple of years. And if he doesn't see winning early, I think that's when you start to see bad habits develop. So we were really very, very focused on showing him functionality and winning early.
Seems like he has really warmed to Rudy as he's gotten, maybe appreciates a little bit more of what he brings to the table. What do you see that Rudy brings in just the day-to-day kind of professionalism, work ethic, things like that, to really kind of provide an example that way?
Rudy's obsessed. I mean, he's got this wonderful skills guy. He's also a neurocognitive guy. They might be at the gym right now working on, he might have a 50-pound weighted vest on right now working on inside
finishes. You might read about that at the Athletic this week. So
his obsession with the craft, again, is something that we wanted our young guys to see. We want our young guys to appreciate how hard it is to be successful and be surrounded by that really elite approach. And in terms of approach and work ethic, there's no one better than Rudy.
Obviously, the Gobert trade has turned out pretty well now, but I think the deal you made for Conley and Nikhil Alexander-Walker has made such, I mean, you get two of your top seven or eight players for a player that, you know, has been a lot of places, let's put it that way. Did you think that was a home run deal when you made it? It just turned out to be.
I mean, I'm always just guessing. No, really, not even being funny. We had to draft me today. It's just you guess. Funny Mike Conley story. This is back in the day. I was doing some research on him, and one of our players in Denver was really close with him. And we were, tell me about Mike Conley. He goes, he's a gamer. I'm like, all right, a gamer. I like that. He goes, no, he's a gamer. He likes to game. There's such an emphasis on specifically Kat and Ant and who we surround them with. And Mike Conley is as good a pro as you'll see in any sport. He's a wonderful guy and a wonderful player. We thought Nikhil had, you know, kind of been on the wrong end of some bad luck, been through a bunch of coaches, kind of was up here initially in New Orleans, then had kind of lost his way relative to role. So you just cross your fingers. I think it's a trade that worked out for both. D'Lo is playing great in L.A. I think Mike certainly is the leader in our locker room, and he's been everything that's advertised more. Even going down to getting the extension done, Mike had, it would have been very easy for Mike to get much, much more money this offseason, but he loves Minnesota. And it's really cool, Mike. You know, he's from Columbus, and then obviously went to Ohio State, and he was in Memphis and Salt Lake City. He was so pumped to go to a Twins game. He was so pumped to go to a Vikings game. So it's, you know, we got lucky that we got such a great guy. We got very fortunate that Finchie really enabled and empowered Nikhil to become this trustworthy role player and have a real defined role. And I think it's a trade that's worked out for both sides.
In terms of the way that Mike is going to kind of finish out that contract here, how do you see the evolution of him at that point guard spot and maybe that spot in general going forward in the next couple of years here?
Well, we'd love to identify an heir apparent. And I think, you know, we're trying to give Mike a voice in that. And hopefully when Mike hangs it up, hopefully, you know, he takes my job. I mean, that's the type of guy. He should never leave Minnesota. He's such a great guy. I mean, I think he says right now, I don't know if I want to scout, I don't want to coach. So I think when he finally hangs him up, he's got too much to give to the game not to do one of those things.
You know, Kat is such a lightning rod with national media and with a certain segment of Wolves fans. And I want to know what your view, now that you've had him for 2 years in your position, what's your view of him as a player, a guy, a professional?
He's the nicest human being in the world. I mean, the travel party, Sarah and Free can attest. I mean, how many times each flight you get on, oh, here's Cane's, here's Chick-fil-A, here's smoothies. He has got a monster heart. I think his skill level is insane. You know, he's as skilled a big as you're going to find. I think he's seen so many tough times where he's been through how many coaches, how many front offices.
A lot. Yes.
So I think it's a testament to his willing. Yeah. It's been a lot of different faces. So the hardest thing initially was, you know, you can't expedite trust. So we didn't know each other at all. I said, listen, I'm not going to tell you to trust me. Let's get to know each other. And as you develop trust, then you can, you know, you go to the house. He comes to our house. You have those hard conversations. There's not anybody I'm more happy for the success this season, the success we're going to have in the playoffs than Carl. He's seen it all. And his last step is to win in the postseason. He's done everything else. He's been all-star, been all-league. He's, you know, achieved the highest level financially. So no one's more excited than Carl, and I think Carl's going to have an unbelievable postseason.
How do you think he has just, I mean, to get those two games for him to help work him his way back in, but where do you think he's at just physically, and where's the team at in terms of just welcoming him back into the fold right now?
Yeah, it was weird because the one game was kind of clunky with the Atlanta game, and then the Phoenix game was kind of clunky because it was a rough one. So this week really helps us. Again, thankfully, we've cemented our place in the playoffs. We had this full week of practice. Finch and their coaches have been working tirelessly for, I think, a really, really creative game plan. So I think he's going to be revved up on Saturday night, and he's in a great place physically. To Carl, he never got out of shape. He never got deconditioned. And while it was surgical, it was a relatively, you know, brief departure from the lineup, not like last year.
You guys have said that all season long, and Finch has said that a lot about, like, we want to be able to stay big and kind of dictate things to the opponent versus the other way around. Do you kind of see that, the way that this series is going to shape up in just terms of what you have to do to be successful?
Yeah, I think in any series, it's obviously matchups and health. Both teams will come in to a large degree completely healthy. And it's what are we better at than they are? So I don't think you'll see a dramatic shift from things we're trying to accomplish. And I think we're kind of lean into our identity. And I think going big, too, it's not just going big doesn't mean drop five, post up our fives 80 times a game. Going big can be crashing the offensive glass. You know, going big can be wearing them out over 48 minutes. So I think when you have Carl and Nas, there's not two more offensively gifted bigs in the league than those two guys. And Rudy's going to be defensive player of the year. Kyle can play both. At times, Jaden can play up. So we really like our depth at that 4-5 position. I think it's a strength. I think it's a strength to lean into.
Anthony Edwards has accomplished an awful lot for this stage of his life. Do you think he's kind of ready to be a playoff star?
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic against Denver last year.
He was.
I think the thing that he's coming to grips with, and it's a tremendous compliment to his game and how much he's accomplished at 22, is all eyes are on you. So he gets frustrated sometimes. They got two or three guys on me. Like that's what superstars get. That's what Kevin Durant's got his whole career. So I think he's ready to embrace that moment. I think he's up for the most clutch player award or something, right?
Breaking news here.
We're going to keep that a secret just between us.
I didn't know that was an award until you emailed me. So
don't tweet it.
Yeah. It's just a local award, though.
It's a Head Flyer Brewing Award.
Yeah.
So I don't think the moment's too big for him. But his evolution is how does he manipulate the game, right? How does he attack different defensive players? How does he react series to series? But he's primed. He's had an unbelievable year. And you take a step back, he's 22 years old. And he didn't see a ton of success collegiately or the high school level. So, again, that's why Finch has been so amazing for him. He's seeing these really, really serious basketball moments that he never saw prior to the NBA. And relative to number one overall picks, I'm looking at his winning percentage. Most of these guys in year four are seeing losing, maybe starting to scratch the surface a little bit of winning. And that is so, so, so important, not just for his development, for our organization development. And you see how much he loves Minnesota. You know, it was easy this offseason. And sometimes, if you're not these glamour markets, it's not easy to keep guys like that. So it's, I think it's a testament to his talent, but also his commitment to the team and the city.
Do you have any favorite just Ant stories, like just what he's like off the court, or just interacting with him? I mean, we always have fun with him in the locker room a lot, and it's just like...
Yeah, you know. I mean, he's a sweet guy.
Yeah.
He was very excited. We're always challenging him to kind of expand his horizons. We were in New Orleans last year. It's like, you know, do more things. So he called me. He's like, hey, I got a great restaurant for you. And I lived in New Orleans for 3 years, pretty familiar with a lot of bars and restaurants. And he said the name, and it was in the French Quarter, and we live right outside the quarter. I'm like, I don't know that place. So, man, the food's fire. You got to come. So he had a couple of us, went there, and it was really neat. They closed the place down. And they had three things on the menu. They had fried shrimp, fried wings, and catfish.
Yeah.
But it was awesome because he found it.
Yeah.
He loved it. The people were great. So he's just a warm person. You know, he's a, you know him. He's just a big sweetheart.
Does he, like, I think that he feels like someone who it does not bother him one bit that an entire franchise is trying to put its weight on his shoulders. He wants to carry that. I mean, how do you help him embrace that but also not go too far with it?
We talk all the time about not taking this thing too seriously. It's professional sports is fantastic, but it's not the realest of worlds. You know, it's and he's also a guy that, you know, some guys are very concerned about their brand. Ant's concerned about his family and friends and anything competitive. That's it. So as long as he, you know, he keeps that focus on what matters to him, I don't think you're going to see a guy that's worried about, you know, the pressure oftentimes is self-induced. You know, at his level, we really challenge him. We say, your peer group is not the guys presently, but how can you be the best two-guarder of all time? Here's MJ's third year. Here's Dwayne Wade's third year. Here's Iverson's third year. So we've really attempted to raise the bar of what it looks like. We want to be one of the best ever, not just a really, really good player. And there's, you can't skip steps. So I think his preparation has gotten better and better in my 2 years. He's in perfect shape. Javar's done a fantastic job. He's got great people around him. You know, Justin and his family, you know, they're just really, really good people. So it's just so rare when you can see a guy that's that talented, that competitive, that young. You know, it'd be a disservice to him and if we didn't try to get him here. You know, that's just here. Because with his talent, he can do pretty much whatever he wants. We think he can be one of the best players of all time.
Over the last couple of weeks, there's been some attention-grabbing headlines with the ownership situation. Just how have you tried to and how have you tried to handle that with your
Take
staff?
Take a big drink.
And just everything else.
Anything stronger? Do we have anything stronger in the house?
There's an Amber Alert coming in. Hey, you know, we've worked with some really great ownership groups. You know, it's our focus is on winning games, and our focus is on trying to beat the Suns. It's certainly, I think Fitch had a great answer, way above my pay grade. So we're just focused on Saturday night and hopefully getting a 1-0 lead.
You are you're from Baltimore, D.C. area. You're with the Wizards. You've had a ton of history with Flip before you got here and everything. Can you share a little bit of Flip history with you guys and just like for all of us who are very familiar with him and how he rolls?
Yeah, it's funny. So Flip got the job in D.C. and didn't say a word to me for about 11 days, not a word. Then I came to my office one day and we talked hoops for 4 hours. And then for the next 91 days, we hung out. And he loved hanging out with my idiot single friends. He loved, you know, Flip, he just loves a good time. And then I'm in New Orleans, and my wife can attest, I'm in New Orleans, and Flip gets his job. He calls me every night. Every night. You're coming. And he's just asking, what are you guys doing in the draft? This player, that player? And he always called like at midnight. Like,
yeah, of
Flip,
course.
Like, I'm sleeping. My wife was like, are they going to off the job or not? So Denver calls out of nowhere. And I call Flip, and I said, hey, this just came out of nowhere. I just took this job, and Flip told me, Debbie's like, good work, Flip. So that was Flip. He was, I have 18 million Flip stories. I took him to see Giannis for the first time, and he was just, I for sure Flip was going to take Giannis.
Yep, he was going to.
Love Giannis. Yep. Love Giannis. And he had some pretty hilarious nicknames for Giannis before he was Giannis. But the greatest thing I learned from Flip is just have fun. You know, Flip was unbelievably smart. Obviously, great coach, great executive, but he never didn't have fun. He would tell us all the time in D.C., got to learn to lose. 82 games, you can't treat a loss like it's the end of the world. And you see a lot of coaches, it's the highs are here, the lows are here, and Flip was always here. Obsessed with Minnesota. He actually is the one who showed me Minnesota. Before I met Flip, I didn't know a thing about Minnesota. You know, he would take me to, he had a place, what's Dinky Town? Dinkle?
Yeah, yeah,
Dinky Town,
right
by
the U of M.
He loved, he would take me there.
Yep.
Then he moved to Medina, I think,
yep.
By John Randall. He had this McMansion. It was insane. And he would take me to all these little dive bars and the Loon. He loved the Loon.
Yep. Chili.
He's just a great guy. Just a great, great guy.
I remember the 1 year he coached the second time around, the Wolves lost to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia lost like 20 games in a row, and they broke their streak and beat the Wolves. And it was, I thought, oh, man, this is going to be a tough post-game locker room and all this stuff. And we get it. He goes through the whole thing and does professional, talks about the game, loses it and stuff. And so we're walking out, going to the locker room, and he pulls me aside, and he just says, John, that was the worst damn game I ever seen in my life. He starts laughing. So that's like the kind of thing that it feels like you have a little bit of that, of trying to at least have some perspective about.
I mean, I really learned, we're in New Orleans, and Anthony Davis' rookie year, playing the Celtics when they have Garnett and Pierce and those guys. When they're still really good. We're up, and I'll ruin the details, but the gist of the story is, I think, factual. Up, make it up 14 with 7 to go. You know, they make a run. We're just hemorrhaging. You know, the game can't end soon enough. AD tips the ball in with 12 to go and wins the game. And at the post game, sit there with the coaches, and we went on over all those reasons we won the game. Oh, that third quarter, we did this and that. And it was like a eureka moment. If that tip in rolls in and out, we talk about why to lose the game. So it's, you know, makes or misses are really hard to control. Again, when the original question, who's in the building, who you work with, how do you, we always try to project being good teammates. We talk about role acceptance. It's not just with our players. It's with us. You know, we want to be a good teammate. And it's, if you do that and hopefully win enough games, keep your job. And then, you know, occasionally, you know, you're at the big table and you can make a run. I think right now our team's at the big table.
By the way, I spent some formative years in Baltimore, and I loved Wes Unseld and Phil Chenier, man. Those are my
great
guys.
Yeah. Wes Unseld Jr. just and his family were just out like 2 weeks
ago. Oh, cool.
Ago. I almost wore an Orioles hat until I realized the Orioles were playing the Twins.
Right. Yeah, you got to be careful around
been
here.
Been a bad luck.
Yeah, I grew up with that team. One last big picture question for me. I feel like this league is in incredible shape right now. You look at the skill level. The bad teams can score 120. You know, it's. Have you seen the league evolve?
Yeah, I think the league's become so global that there's only two international sports. It's soccer and basketball. I mean, what Wembanyama is doing in San Antonio is scary, absolutely scary. I think 33% of the league is international now. We have, when's the last domestic MVP? It's been a minute.
It's been a little while.
It's been a minute. Mm-hmm. So I think the globalization game has really helped. I also think we have, you know, the coaches are fantastic. The skill development's nonstop now, which, you know, it's my 28th year in the NBA. 20 years ago, skill development was maybe started in June, July, August. Now it's the last game, a week later, these guys are getting after it. I think we set attendance records league-wide this year. I think we have really, really good guys. Like, I'm not just saying that because I work for the team. If Naz Reid's a great dude. Mike Conley's a great dude. Carl, unbelievable heart. So I think that helps, too. You know, you want to have fun watching sports. I mean, John, you and I have discussed sometimes. There's enough negativity in the world. It doesn't need to get to the sports arena. Occasionally it does, obviously. But I think all those things together, just a fun game to watch. And the talent level's never been higher. I mean, think at our Western Conference this year. I think the Lakers are 16-4 over the last 20, and they moved up one spot.
Yeah.
The Kings had the same exact year. Pretty much. They had injuries late, yep. And they're going to play in the play-in. Next year, as good as the Western Conference is, as is, Memphis will be fantastic. Like in San Antonio with that kid is, oh, my Lord. Houston will get better and better. So the Western Conference, we had the three best records in the league in our division this year. And I'm sorry, the Western Conference in our division this year. So it's pretty impressive how many good teams there are throughout the league. But specifically in the Western Conference, there's really who's not going to try to win next year. Usually there's four or five teams, easy outs, and I don't see any easy outs in our conference.
You got to get this league to expand and head east.
Yeah. I mean, we could sprint from San Antonio.
When you think about just game one, like what goes through your mind just getting ready for that? I think we can say the tarps are coming off. Like the place is going to be full, 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 full. And
Jake, come on, that's the mics for you, Jake.
Just guy, what are you looking forward to most, I guess, about walking into the building on Saturday, whatever time that is, and just starting to get after it here?
I mean, I'm a fan first and foremost, and to me, there's nothing cooler when the weather's nice and then playoff basketball. It sounds cheesy and geeky, it probably is, but do we have a game time for Saturday yet?
Not yet. I think it's later tonight.
Do you know, Jake, or do you know what time we're playing Saturday? Yes, you do. That's your tell. That means you're lying when you do this. But there's nothing better. It's going to be 52 degrees and sunny on Saturday. And it's, whether it's a 3 o'clock game and you get daytime beers and go hang out, or it's a nighttime game and it's, you know, the crowd is properly lubricated. it's just awesome. And the first day, the first and second day of playoffs, to me, it's the only thing close to NCAA tournament time for me, where there's, you know, like games going every hour, the a new game starting, and we're hosting the playoff, and we're hosting Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. So it's, I mean, you're seeking to see the best defensive player in the world, a couple first ballot Hall of Famers, and the Phoenix guys on our team that will be Hall of Famers as well. The place will be packed. You know, I think certainly you've seen we have not played well against them recently, which is even, you know, more of a positive challenge for us. You know, you can't run from teams. You know, I've heard a lot of talk about matchups. To try to get to where we want to go, you got to beat everybody. You can't be scared of them. And our guys, I think, are especially motivated because of some of the, you know, the games that maybe we haven't played up to our level that we've expected this year.
The last thing I forgot, Naz Reid is, I think, trending toward sixth man of the year. He's certainly getting a lot of public votes for it. When you signed him this summer, I think some people looked at it like, man, another big, and you're devoting that resources. But just how have you seen his season come together and really kind of still him be able to carve out, being able to play with Rudy, being able to play with Kat, and kind of the expectations you had for him versus what you've seen in reality?
Well, whether it's a draft or trades or signing guys, you're just guessing. And I was pretty convicted that Naz is going to get better and better and better. His work ethic is ridiculous. He's got maybe the best handle on our team. So it's when you're going through the process, you know, you have the information that you can look at, but our job is project, you know, not report. We talk about it all the time. And we're pretty confident that the guy offensively, he can play. He might be able to play two guard, you know, the way he plays. And the biggest thing we're doing is betting on the guy. He's just a sweet, sweet guy who's done everything that he was supposed to do after going undrafted for whatever reason at LSU. And you don't let guys like that out of your building, whether it's optimal use of the cap space, whether it's a perfect complement to your roster. When you get really, really good guys for really, really good players, I don't care where they play. I think, you know, I believe those guys have to stay and you keep them here as long as you want. It's hard to find good players. It's really, really hard to find good players with great guys. And if you have both, then, you know, make it hard for them to leave.
Awesome. Well, Tim, can't thank you enough.
Thank you, Tim. Please, up everybody, here? Give a hand to Tim Kaiser for coming out.
There it is.
We appreciate it.
All right. And if you see Matt Lloyd over here, he turned down the GM job in Charlotte to stay in
That's
Minneapolis.
True.
So and he's one of us now. He's one of us now. Maybe buy him a beer.
So. And he recently had a big birthday. So
there you go.
He has to have 50 beers tonight. 50.
Yes. Yes.
He's up to two.
Yeah.
they're open late. Won't be a problem. Hey,
thanks,
thank you, Tim.
Tim.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks very much. Great to see you. All right, we're going to do a little business here. We'll set up the rest of the show. We're going to have Steve Terry from TSR Injury Law up to talk with us. We're going to get to some fan questions here later. Just we need to thank our sponsors, make all this possible. John, you want to tell us about the Defined Destinations trip?
DefineDestinations.com. You go there to that website. They have amazing trips all over the world. Kind of first class accommodations. Every, you know, think about Spain. You think about you know, just any place you could think of, Europe, anywhere else in the world. DefinedDestinations.com. They have guided tours that you can sign up for and go on. They'll kind of just map out everything for you if you're a little bit intimidated by overseas travel, as I am sometimes. They've been everywhere you could possibly think. They set up food tours. They set up restaurants. They set up kind of, you know, where the place is to see the sites. So go to DefineDestinations.com, check that out, and sign up for a great trip.
Also, let's hear about Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops clothing line and your promo code for them.
SGLambChops.com is the promo code. You get JohnK20, 20% off at SGLambChops.com. You have seen Jordan and Craig sitting courtside at the Wolves games. They have some of the most comfortable sweatpants, hoodies, shorts, t-shirts, super high quality, really affordable prices, and it's all kind of the product of Minnesota guys. So go there and support the people who support us. You will see them going crazy, probably talking some trash to KD and Booker and everyone in game one on Saturday. SGLambChops.com, JONK20 for 20% off anything you want there.
And again, thanks to Aquarius Home Services, and we will tell you more about TSR Injury Law and Head Flyer Brewing as the show progresses. Steve Terry, come on up whenever you like. John, while Steve's making his way up here, how do you analyze this matchup?
Well, I do think it's the worst matchup that the Wolves could have got in the first round, just given the way that Phoenix can present problems for them defensively. They hit a lot of mid-range shots. They do like to play small. They have tough dudes who have been in these situations before. But I also do think that the Wolves can play a heck of a lot better than they did in those three games. I think there are adjustments to be made to really kind of counteract a lot of what Phoenix brings to the table. And the Wolves had seven more wins in the regular season than Phoenix did. And I think, you know, they earned those victories. And so Phoenix is kind of where the Wolves were last year in trying to get used to everyone and get everyone on the same page, whereas the Wolves, I think, are a little bit tighter group. And so I think if they can just throw some punches and be in the game, especially in the second half, I think you're going to start to see maybe a little bit of that chemistry pay off. And so I would anticipate that they're going to have some adjustments to be made from those three games, and I really expect them to come out and play really well in game one.
It also reminds me, Chris Finch came out, met a bunch of us. It was kind of one of the events to kind of welcome him to town, and I think we all sat there and watched an NBA playoff final game. I think it was Suns and Bucks, and I thought it was really interesting because I think at that point the Suns were running away with that series, and Finch is sitting there saying, no, if the Bucks change these matchups and do this and do that, they'll probably win the series. It was very insightful the way he looked at it.
Yeah, I do remember that as well. And I've heard him say several times this season that they look at these matchups as a puzzle, and he feels like they have a lot of pieces to counteract all sorts of different puzzles that they're going to face. And this one, I think, will be a big challenge, but it has a very real confidence and kind of self-assuredness about the tools that he has to work with on this team. We will see. Maybe it's going to be unfounded. Maybe Phoenix is going to be too much and we'll run through them, but I don't think so. I think that that coaching staff really puts in the work, and what we've seen from the team in general is when they face adversity, they find a way to kind of circle the wagons and bounce back. They did not lose three games in a row all season long. They only lost two games in a row, I think, three times. And so every time they do get punched in the mouth, they get back up and punch back. And so I think there's a lot of pride with the team. And I think Rudy knows that there's a lot of doubters about him. I think Kat knows it. I think Ant, like, just wants to generally fight the world. And I think that will all be much-needed intensity in game one, and I don't think that they're going to be intimidated by it. I think that they'll be ready for that.
Now I want to introduce Steve Terry, voice of the fan, truth teller, man of the people, man who has scheduled future sleepovers with Naz Reid. Steve, welcome to the show. We haven't talked, and it's been too long. I miss chatting with you.
Well, you're too busy at the Masters.
I know. So first of all, tell us about the giveaway.
All right, well, this is not the giveaway. This is just for, like, special people.
VIPs?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So, sorry.
But let me just say this. The Timberwolves are giving away flags and things over there, like, for free. Everyone likes free. Yeah, let's put some flags in the back. So if you get a chance, go get some free stuff. And then we are giving some Naz Reid T-shirts away. Just
and they're sweet.
Phone number in there. And Naz knows it's on all the billboards and all of this. And I will tell you, just to cut to the chase, Wolves in six.
Woo!
Just call
it out.
There it goes. And Tim actually stole my thunder, but, like, you know, as a fan, and we're all Minnesotans, and we're sitting here, and you hear, like, oh, God, not the Suns. That's the one team we didn't want, right? Are we allowed to swear?
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Help that. You got to beat every team. That's the thing. Beat every team.
Yep.
So whoever's there, we got to beat them, and we just got, you know, they're old, we're young, we got to teach them, we got a week to figure it out, we got good coaches, we got good players, let's get it done. That's all I got
to
say.
It's supposed to be hard.
It's supposed to be hard.
Yeah.
It's not all this, oh, we want the Kings because they're missing their players.
Yep.
That's soft. Let's just go to, let's get the best team, knock them off, and just keep on going.
There we go.
So tell us what it's been like for you to get to know Naz Reid.
Yeah, Naz and I, man, we had a sleepover the other day. No, we didn't.
Yeah.
No, Naz
not during the season.
Yeah, that's after season. So TSR Injury Law has teamed up with Naz Reid. It was something we came up with. Everybody loves Naz. I mean, it's not like a secret, right? He's just like this unicorn. He's such a cool guy. And I try not to be like a fanboy like John is with Rubio. You know, and
we all have one.
Fair. Yeah, fair. Mean, yeah.
You wonder where Rubio's is, it's in his basement. Right?
Guilty. Guilty.
Yeah. But meeting Naz and just like, he is exactly who you think he is. He's super chill. He's really smart and he's very quiet. We did a commercial and it was kind of hard to, it's like, Naz, you got to smile. He's like, okay. You know, it's like, come on. And we did it. I mean, but he's just super nice. You know, I was happy. He likes the billboards. You know, he's like, oh, those are dope. I'm like, hey, all right, that's cool. You know, so that was kind of nice. I stood on a box and took a picture with him so I didn't look so short. And but
it must have been a big box.
Yeah, it was a very tall box. So I got to meet some of his family and his reps. And, yeah, it's a good time. You know, we got lucky because we signed him. We were putting things together. And then, unfortunately, Cat got hurt. Naz starts. And then he just starts blowing up the world. And then I don't know who came up with Naz towels, but that thing was
that was fantastic.
Like, I wish I came up with that. We should come up with some TSR towels. But anyway, but the towels are awesome. And then they're like people in Paris, like, the next day. You know, it was awesome. And then Sixth Man of the Year. And I mean, it just all is happening at the same time. And honestly, I mean, we wanted to work with him because, you know, when he came out, he's a 5-star. Things didn't happen at LSU. Undrafted. And then he just worked his ass off. I mean, he changed his body type. I mean, he works. And that, you know, we like to think that's what we do for our clients, that we just bust our ass. And so we thought it was a good fit, and it worked out.
I didn't know this was going to be a blue show.
But
it is when you have Steve
didn't
Terry
you?
On,
why
it's going to be a
yeah,
blue
you
show.
You should. You should. Yeah. Steve, what is it like sitting behind Chris Finch courtside versus Tom Thibodeau courtside?
So Finch is a lot thinner, so I can see the game. Am I supposed to say
that? No, you speak the truth. That's what you do.
I mean, I'm not thin myself. I'm not body shaming anyone. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Thibodeau stands there, and the only person that swore more than him was Kurt Rambis, if we remember that fiasco. Right? That was a disaster. Like, I remember.
And Kurt used some words that nobody should use.
So I'm going to tell you this. This is a funny. So, like, where we sit, we're very fortunate. We sit courtside against next to the current owner. I'm not sure who the owner is. Anyway, Glenn, right, and Becky. I can't. That's above my pay grade.
Yeah, it is above your pay grade, yes.
I think they're the owners. Anyway, so we sit there. But so Kurt Rambis used to, he was trying to be like Phil Jackson. So, like, he would wait till the timeout is almost over. And then he would come in, like, at the last, like, 3 seconds left and do it. And the players are like, what's going on? And then I remember Corey Brewer went out and ran the opposite play. And
Corey Brewer ran the wrong play? I'm shocked.
I know, it's hard to believe. But, like, we were right there, and we saw what he was supposed to do, and he literally did the opposite. And Kurt Rambis yelled, and if you know Glenn and Becky, they don't swear. They're very, like, and he screamed across the court.
We're not going to repeat that one here.
I cannot repeat it. I cannot. And I was just like, oh, my. Anyway. Thibodeau was very close to that. And Thibodeau, like, there's kids there, and he is saying things that should not be said in front of children. And his assistants would come up, and he wouldn't even turn around and acknowledge. It was like a weird vibe. I don't know. We made the playoffs, but it was the most miserable season I'd ever had as a fan with all that Jimmy Butler nonsense and all this. And that's why, as a fan, like, you got to enjoy this year. I mean, no matter what happens with Phoenix, like, it's a good team. We're winning. They're good people. They're not assholes, you know, and it's just, like, just enjoy the wave. But, Thibodeau was – I don't miss him.
While you're rolling, do you have a favorite David Kahn story?
Oh, I got a great David Kahn story.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
Hey, Tim, actually, here, this here. Is – like, yeah. So, back in the day – when we had nice people in management, they would allow me to come to, like, when they were trying out people for the draft. So, that was fun. I sat in the corner. I didn't even bother.
Did those teams win?
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. But still. So, it was, who was the guy that got drafted third overall to, he was a power forward out of Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech.
No, he wasn't for us. It was
Favors. Derek Favors.
Derek Favors. So Derek Favors was in. he's running, and what they do is they run him up and down, get him tired, and then shoot a free throw. And this dude was so out of shape. I mean, again, I'm not in shape, don't get me wrong, but I'm like sitting there like, is this, like, what is he doing? And David Kahn was sitting there, he had his shoes off, and he was clipping his toenails.
See, if you said that about anybody else in the world of sports, we would say you're lying. With David Kahn, we're all like, yeah, left foot first. I mean,
yeah, he's sitting there clipping his toenails, and I'm and he had like white socks on that, you know, like an old
The NBA socks.
The NBA socks. And some sandals, which is not really a hip look. And I was sitting there getting in the corner because I'm not trying to bother anyone, and I'm like, what is happening? I'm just saying.
That's fantastic. I mean, I've heard a million David Kahn stories. I had not heard that one. That is beautiful.
That's what we bring him here for.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
I got all kinds of stories.
He's got the good stuff.
I'm not a reporter, but I got a little bit of dirt.
Oh, you got the dirt, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Hey, take a quick break. Just tell us about the business real quick.
If you're injured, 612 TSR time. That's all you need to know.
There we go. All right, we did have some unfortunate microwave interference when we asked Tim about ownership. I think things have cleared up right now. I mean, you sit there. You sit next to Glenn and Becky. I'm sure you've been out, drinking with A-Rod and Mark Laurie. I mean, where do you stand with all this?
Hey, Jake, am I allowed to talk about the chairs next to me?
We're going to get a lot of people in trouble here tonight, which is always our goal.
So, I guess I can't get fired. I mean, what do they care? I don't know. I'm on Team Glenn. I mean, he's a friend of mine. I mean, I don't pretend to know anything, but I mean, I know that he's a good person. I hear other stuff about the other guys, and I'm like, this is all I'm saying. This is just as a fan. Like, I read the papers. I read this. I subscribe to Athletic, although I didn't get the dollar deal. I think I'm $10 a month.
You're the only one, who pays full price
for
the Athletic.
I think I paid full price right away. Yeah. I should probably renegotiate. Maybe I get Nas. Yeah. Nas knows how to renegotiate.
There you go. Yeah.
This is all I'm saying. This is just as a fan. This is not any top secret stuff. I just think that if they had the money, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And we know it's been reported, maybe right, about a week or two before $300 million fell through with some group. And I'm thinking, if you're 2 weeks away from having to come up with hundreds of millions of dollars and it falls through, that means you don't have the money. That's all I know. I mean, again, this is not like top secret stuff, but I'm like, if they had the money, then we wouldn't be talking about it, and then we move forward. And I don't know anything about the contract. I mean, I read contracts for a living, but not the Timberwolves contract. But so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but let's just beat Phoenix in six and not worry about it, basically. So,
and I'll just say this: like, I have seen the documents that have been submitted to the NBA with money that would cover Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez's half or part of the deal. It's just what we don't know now is what an arbitrator is going to rule about the deadlines that supposedly were or were not missed. And so I think it is definitely more of a letter of the law interpretation of the contract. And then if Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez win there, which is very possible, then they would have to get approved by the NBA for their entire finances. So those are a bunch of steps that have to happen. Probably won't happen anytime soon. That's where we start.
I just wish we could get Tim back up here and I could ask some real questions. Because you guys are soft.
We were very soft. It's true.
We're just happy that he got here.
Yes.
But again, just reading the papers or whatever, but like, what's this thing? I mean, you're the reporter, so I'm going to ask you a question, but what's this thing where like A-Rod, they sent something in and said they were going to have to slash payroll because they don't have the money.
Right.
So is that true or what's going
on? Well, it's true that they sent in a budget that had a budget for underneath the luxury tax, which means if you're going to be under the luxury tax, you're going to have to trade Cat. Or Nas and Jaden or something like that.
All right, so Tim, are we trading Cat? Is this breaking news? he's ignoring me. I don't blame him.
But what I will say, what I will say to you, it is that was a budget that was not necessarily the budget. Like, I think that a document like that, when you are trying to raise money to get other investors in, you give them several different benchmarks, and so while it was presented in a certain report that this was absolutely going to happen, that, if these guys get the team, they're going under the luxury tax, I do not believe that. I think that if the Timberwolves make the Western Conference Finals this year, I think Glenn Taylor's going to pay the luxury tax, or I think Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez are going to pay the luxury tax. Like, that's the simple situation here. So, like, what we're seeing right now with that, with other reports, like, it's just a back and forth, and it's an ugly mess. Like, it's one side going with one thing, it's another side going with another thing to try and make both of them look bad. And I think right now, where we're at as game one approaches, it's got to just circle back to the basketball on the court and let all of the other ugliness play out privately and quietly within the legal situation that they're in. But yes, I do not read that budget as gospel for what Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez are going to do. I believe they would have spent the money if they had the reason to do it.
Johnny, you've been covering the team forever. Steve, you've been a fan of this team for a very long time. What has it been like to see them actually do what they did this year? Because it's been since 2004 since they had this kind of a run. And even though they end up at the third seed, not the first, it's still a very comparable season in terms of wins and losses, in terms of excitement around town. I think one of my peers recently wrote that, oh, this is a make or break type of year this year. I think that's the difference between this year and 2004. 2004, they were given Sprewell and Cassell extensions. They had to win that year or it was over. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't win that year. It was over. This team could have a 3 or 4 year run.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said, like, all of the last 20 years have been my fault because my first day on the job was the day Flip got fired in 05. And it went down from there. So I missed the 04 run to the Western Conference Finals. I missed KG's prime, all of that stuff. But this season has been wholly unfamiliar. And I think very invigorating because for 20 years I kept, you know, I would say, yeah, hey, I'm a sports writer in town. Like, oh, really? Who do you cover? I cover the Timberwolves. Like, why? Why do you do that? And this is why you do it. You for these types of seasons, but more so for this type of player. Like, Anthony Edwards is the player that every franchise waits for. And it is not a coincidence that they're have been in the playoffs for three straight seasons, and he arrived 4 years ago. And you can see an entire locker room, an entire franchise, an entire city coalesce around a player like this. It happened in Milwaukee with Giannis. It happens in San Francisco with Steph. The Warriors were not good before Steph got there. He got there. And so to see kind of that rise, it's been really fun to be on the front end of that. And to your point, Jim, whatever happens with Rudy and Mike over the long term, whatever happens with Cat over the long term, if you have Anthony Edwards, you're going to be in a position that it's not going to be a painful retool. And so the way that he has kind of ascended and that the way that this team has sort of just really kind of found an identity around him and then they just win all of the time, and the building is full all of the time.
Partially like, full.
That's what I've just officially full. That's what I've always believed what could happen in this city if you gave them a reason, and now it is. And my God, if they win the first round and they beat Phoenix, thinking what game one of or game three, whatever it is of the second round, and what it would be like there. I mean, it'd just be bananas. But that is all really possible now. You had to hope before. You had to squint and see maybe this will happen. Now, like, you don't have to do any of that. It's really possible that this happens right now, and that's really fun.
I like to go on the record as a fan and just say that it's much more fun to have your team win than suck.
It's really a bold statement. Like, that's what he does. He is the truth teller.
I was there for KG's first game, and I remember the electricity. And then when it was 04 when it was him, Latrell, and then yeah. I actually flew out to L.A. and was there for game six. And that was about as excited as I had ever been because we had a chance. I mean, we had three, like, adults, you know, and until Cassell did the ball thing and blew out his groin or whatever it was. But I don't know how many people here were, like, for game seven when KG went off for, like, 31, 20 or whatever, yeah. And they were standing on the table and we beat the Kings. Remember Weber missed the three-pointer and it like rimmed out. And that was the loudest game that I've ever been at in Target Center. And it, even now, I just like it, it just like I want that. Like, I want that Saturday. You know, I hope we have a late game so you can say we get lubed up. We can come here, drink, and then we can
there you go.
Uber over. We don't want to drink and drive. Don't drink and drive because then I'll sue you. We don't want that. But
it's,
we can, like, Uber
it's not
over.
A bad walk.
Yeah, exactly. But I want that for all the fans. And, you know, it's just, it's so incredible, the vibe.
No doubt about it. All right, we're still giving away T-shirts over there. Ryan, cool. All right, so head over there, get TSR Injury Law T-shirts.
If you drop your name and a phone number, and we're giving away a raffle for Nas stuff. And then there are some flags over there for the Timberwolves. And then Jake's in the back, and you can pat him on the back for 41 straight sellouts.
Yes.
Right there.
Yeah.
41 sellouts right there.
Love it.
And then if any fans have questions, start lining up here.
Yep.
And then we'll bring Neil up from Head Flyer here in a few minutes.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thanks to Steve. Hey, give Steve Terry a hand. We always appreciate what he's done for us. Great guy to have around. Neil, jump in here.
Hey, hey.
Neil, thank you for having us. As always, we do appreciate it. Just tell us what's going on with the business and what this season has been like for you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's been a lot of fun. We've been working with John and you guys for a long time and just getting a lot of excitement around Timberwolves games and trying to have a great atmosphere where people can come and watch when we have home playoff games. Come and, you know, get started, get lubed up here before we go. But we'll have plenty of people here Saturday, really excited. A lot of fun. It's a great atmosphere to watch a game. Plenty of great seats. 100-inch screen will be great. So we're really looking forward to that. We got a lot of other exciting stuff coming up this summer. May 4th, we have our big anniversary party where we're going to have horseshoes and hand grenades outside, weather permitting. It's going to be beautiful. A little change from what we did last year, but we're really excited for, you know, what the summer is going to bring. And obviously some Timberwolves playoff success will be great for us. And we're really looking forward to that. And everybody here just, you know, being part of the excitement and having a long playoff run.
And Neil, like even for late games in the playoffs, you're going to be open, right? Like that's the plan is, you know, is however long the games are going, you're going to have the beer pouring here.
For sure. Yeah. We haven't told Patrick yet, but he will be here. We all want to stay and watch the whole game anyway. So yeah, definitely come bring a crowd, bring a lot of people. We'll make sure we're open and serve until the Timberwolves pull it off in the end.
It's awesome.
Beautiful. And also as those who are here know, but just for the listening audience, great porch, balcony, food trucks. My wife went out and had the burritos, the food truck today. They always have a really good food truck. There's a lot of space out there. When we did our season preview, 2 years ago? I mean, not only was the indoor area packed, the whole outside was packed all the way out to Hennepin. So lots of space. The weather's about to turn. It's a great place to and dog friendly as well, which we appreciate.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely bring your dogs, bring your friends. And yeah, let's have a great day Saturday and definitely come out and enjoy a game here. When you can.
How's the crunch time selling?
Crunch time is selling great. We're selling it so fast. We're down to a few cans here in the tap room. So, yeah, it's been really great. It's been a great reception. We'll have the Wicked Jump Shot flowing as well. So we always have a basketball-themed beer. If you happen to go to Target Field sometime this year, you'll also see a really cool basketball-themed beer. Somehow we convinced them to have Wicked Jump Shot in Target Field. So
take it over, baby.
We'll see what happens. I heard maybe Target Center might be a possibility here sometime in the future. So we'll keep working on that. Y'all keep drinking it. Thank you.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it. And, you know, you should have a meeting over there. I think you can just take care of that right now.
That's right.
That's good. It seems like we're doing a lot of wheeling and dealing here.
Yes.
And, making things happen.
Just get Steve Terry on your side. It'll all work out just fine.
Exactly right.
All right. Yep.
All right. Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for coming out, everybody.
All right. Cheers. Great.
All right. Do we have anybody ready to ask a question? Let's go over to this mic right here.
So specifically with the Suns, there's an interesting matchup with Cat defending Grayson. I know that when Cat was out and Gobert, when Rudy was out, Rudy touched on our small ball lineup. I know you kind of were hinting at that with Tim. Could you just talk more about that potential small ball lineup we could have against the Suns and if you think that'd be successful or if you don't think we had enough time doing that?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I do think that they're going to want to start conventionally with Cat, with Rudy, with Jaden, like go big or go home kind of a situation. And I do think that there are things they can do with the big lineup to exploit better than they have so far. And so they will try that. If you're through like say a game and a half and it's not working, I do think that Chris Finch has shown that he will make changes quickly to adapt. I mean, we saw D'Angelo Russell benched in the Memphis series. We've seen him do other things that have to happen to win games because This is the third seed. You had a great season all year. You can't let it wash away just because you're stubborn with what you want it to do. I think that they can make it work with the big lineup, but if they can't, you can bring in Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and now you have Ant, Conley, Nikhil, Jaden as more perimeter-oriented defenders, and that may be an antidote to Phoenix's shot-making. Grayson Allen is shooting the lights out from three, but also I think where he gives Cat a few problems is he can pump and get to the rim a little bit. So if Cat closes out too hard, it's easy for Grayson to get right by him. And so if they need a little bit more of a light-footed defender, you have Nikhil Alexander-Walker there. And that's what Finch has talked about, having different sorts of lineups that they can deploy. And so I think that he's going to do everything he can and give Cat in that big lineup every opportunity to succeed. But if they don't, you can't wait too long to change it, and I don't think he will.
Good question, thank you. And by the way, while we wait for our next questioner, I appreciate you giving the ovations to Tim and Steve and everybody else. Also, please give an ovation to Brandon Morton. He's the guy scrambling around here, sweating his ass off, trying to put up the show. Thank you, Brandon. Step right up. Yes, sir.
Just of like a basic observation from the last Phoenix game, it seemed like Ant was seeing not like a traditional triple team, but like we used to call it six eyes, where there's the driving defender in the gap that he's driving, the defender nearest to him is coming, but then maybe like a low side defender on the strong side or even from the middle of the floor. Those guys aren't necessarily like in his grill, but they're also not like they're there.
Yeah.
So what kind of plays does Ant need to make? Because he has to attack the basket if we're going to be successful. So what kind of plays does he have to make? Does that mean he's off the ball as much and just kind of taking it off the rip off a reversal? Or does that mean that he's going to have to make those reversal passes and just trust that he's going to get it back?
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter, trust that he's going to get it back. And he's done a really good job of that over the second half of the season, I think, especially after Cat went out. You saw him really up his playmaking and his vision. Now, I think really where the pressure shifts is to the players he's passing to. Like Jaden McDaniels had how many wide open looks from three in that game against Phoenix and just wasn't able to knock enough of them down. So whether it's Jaden, whether it's Cat, whether it's Nikhil or Conley or whoever, like what Phoenix is clearly going to do is load up on Ant, both like a double team when he has the ball, but also when he drives, they're going to sag off of Jaden and pack the paint and keep him off of the rim where he's most dangerous. And so I really think it's going to be a situation where they're going to dare Jaden McDaniels, they're going to dare Kyle Anderson, they're going to dare a lot of these guys to make shots that they don't think they can make. And Jaden last year shot almost 40% from three. He has not shot well this year. That's going to have to tick up. They're going to have to find ways to hurt the Suns for committing so many resources toward Ant. Ant is capable of making the right play to put the Wolves in position to hurt him now, but they've got to be able to finish that off. And so whether that is making the shot or finding Ant second side and getting him in a better position, something like that has to happen. Otherwise, they're going to be in some trouble.
Good question. Thank you. Anybody else have a question? If not, I'll ask John a couple. So you've already talked about some keys for the series. Is there one player you think is really the swing player for this series? Is that oversimplifying it?
I mean, I think it's Cat. I really do. He has looked understandably rusty the first couple of games and coming back, but the ceiling for the Wolves in terms of reaching the Western Conference Finals or Finals is Cat. Like, can he be a dominant offensive player and a shot maker? Because I think you're going to get great performances from Ant, from Rudy. I think the rest of the role players will be solid to reliable. Cat can either be really, really good or he can be really, really bad. And so how he manages to put his imprint on this series is going to be a huge swing factor. If they do have to reduce his minutes and go to Nikhil or go some way other way, it might work out, but it's just so much different from the way that they're built to win. And so I'm just going to be watching him really closely and how he manages the emotions of it. He wants it so badly. and he's just got to be able to play in control within himself and hit threes and get down and rebound the ball and do some damage on the offensive glass.
Yes, sir.
Patrick.
So with Luka now being an NBA contract, not just the G League contract, what's the plan in the future for Luka as a player, as another kind of big man coming in on an already pretty big squad? What's the plan with him now being full-time with the Wolves?
Yeah, so like that is a one-year thing right now just to finish this season out, and it's really good insurance to have if you have foul trouble, if you have injuries with those big guys. Like, Luka can come in and give you a solid effort, especially offensively. But I really do want to see what he looks for this offseason, because he does have NBA skills. He is an NBA offensive player, but I just don't see a pathway to him having meaningful minutes in Minnesota with Rudy and Kat and Naz Reid. If Kat gets traded, if they get swept in the first round and Kat gets traded, maybe that changes things. But if they go deep into the playoffs, if they have any success and you run it back next year, I'd probably think Luka is going to look for an opportunity elsewhere, which I would like to see happen for him, because he is really talented and he deserves a shot. It's just he happens to be on the team with the best trio of big men in the league.
Cool, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, appreciate it. All right, let's wrap up this show. Once again, thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thanks to Head Flyer Brewing, Aquarius Home Services, Defined Destinations, TSR Injury Law, Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops Clothing Line, promotional code JohnK20. I usually don't like doing predictions, but it's kind of the easy thing to do right now. I mean, your prediction, I know, won't be anything near Steve Terry's,
yeah,
but try to match up. How do you see the series going?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a battle. I know that people are worried about Phoenix, and I know that people are worried about kind of how they match up and all of that. I just have maybe it's because I've watched them so closely all year. I think Wolves in seven. Like, that's my thing. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be back and forth all the way, but I think that game seven in Target Center, the Wolves will find a way to do it. And so we'll see if that happens, but that's the way I feel right now.
So if you all would, please give a hand to Tim Connelly, Steve Terry, John Krasinski.